Workroom, and today I wanted to share with you a piece of a book called Primitive Song by C.M. Barra. Now, this is a hardback book published in 1962. It cost $6.50 US dollars at the time. Cost me more than that used, I'm pretty sure, even with the dust jacket all torn up. Anyway, Primitive Song is an examination of songs from Stone Age cultures, meaning cultures still existing in the world today, that remain very close to nature and very insulated within their own traditional ways of doing things. In other words, I hope this book would offer a look at the roots of poetry and songwriting, the deep human roots. These are not cultures that grew up influenced by the radio or by so-called music television. These are not cultures that ever went through the whole printed sheet music sort of revolution that happened a century and some change ago, I think, where suddenly you could write a song, you could get sheet music printed up and sold nationwide and make a bunch of money because people would buy your sheet music and then play the song on their piano at home. These are not cultures that went through the weird period in the 1980s where suddenly a song, specifically your writing, performance, and recording of a song, could suddenly make like millions of bucks, maybe, long shot. But a few did. In the 1980s, suddenly you could really mass market songs. There could be a video, there could be a single. The cultures covered in Primitive Song have none of that, had none of it. So I was hoping for a perspective really well outside this mainstream music industry. I sometimes glaze over a bit when I read these present day manuals that have a lot to do with commercial songwriting, meaning songwriting as something that you do to create like a commodity. I'm really more interested in it as a craft and as an art. And the passage that I want to share, specifically the passage that I want to share, is paraphrased from page 86 of Primitive Song. It's about a certain process of poetry and how poetry in cultures probably goes through this series of steps that begins with just a simple repeated rhythm, and then little bit by little bit becomes a long, meaningful poem that could tell the stories, the myths, teach the ways of a culture, could potentially tell people who they are in the world, where they're from. Anyway, be aware that I've translated Barra's writing here from 1962 academia into terms that we can relate as present-day songwriters, but Barra does believe that poetry might have started with that rhythm. Like, maybe it came from dance. Maybe it came from some kind of repetitive task, work. Maybe it came from walking. But then, with that rhythm in place, poetry slowly and kind of hesitantly comes into being. Poetry is born. So first, with that rhythm, you then have maybe some meaningless syllables, right? I think immediately of splitting wood, because I grew up in Maine. I had a lot of neighbors and a lot of friends growing up whose chore it was to help split firewood. And when you're doing something like that, that's really hard work and it takes a while and it's repetitive, you kind of fall into a rhythm, right? So that you get used to this sound as the axe comes down, and to distract yourself from the ache in your muscles and the splinters in your hands, maybe you start grunting a bit when the axe comes down. Maybe you shout a little bit, kind of softly to yourself. Maybe you start humming a tune to the tempo of that rhythm. So it all starts with kind of meaningless vocal sounds over the rhythm. Start imitating the rhythm with your mouth, basically. Now next, once you've got your la-la-las or your do-re-mis or your obla-di, next might come a meaningful line, right? Maybe instead of just humming, you start to murmur words, and maybe those words actually form a line that means something. This could become what, in songwriting terms, we would call a refrain or a chorus line, basically something that you keep returning to over and over throughout the course of a song, the core of the song's message and its general emotion. Once you've got one meaningful line, you'll tend to repeat it, right? Because, hey, if it worked once, why not sing it again, right? But as you know, if you've ever been kind of strumming something or tapping your foot and singing something you came up with, you're excited about it, you're singing it to yourself over and over, sooner or later you don't want to repeat that same line just back to back forever, so you come up with some additional lines. You get a little puzzle to solve, right? You come up with some other lines of lyric to sing that might set up that original line from different angles. It might complement it, might tell a story. And then you come back to that first meaningful line to really let that song's core meaning resonate, right? Once you get a few additional lines, those lines might start to come together into like groups, into stanzas in poetry terms. So in our case, that would mean like lines arranged in a series into probably filling a rhyme scheme, A-B-A-B or A-B-A or something, so that the words rhyme and the lines make sense in order. They might tell a story or develop a train of thought. Now, once lines start grouping into stanzas, you might find that stanzas group into sections. So maybe those stanzas, maybe you've got two stanzas, four lines each, and that forms your first verse, we would call, in songwriting terms. So you might have verse or bridge sections that relate back to that chorus in some ways. Or maybe in addition to the original line, you start writing some other lines that become a longer chorus so that you have a whole section instead of a single line that gets repeated throughout the song. Finally, the sections of that song eventually probably come together into some kind of order. Like formulas today that are used in songwriting that come about, like verse, chorus. There are these patterns of song sections that come together to create this whole satisfying little journey, right? A whole story is told over the course of a song with different melodies that develop in new directions, maybe bridges that take us to unexpected places, things like that. We go on an adventure through this song. And then finally, when the song is done, it may become grouped with other songs that have come about in that same way. That whole process goes over again and the songs come together. Songs could be grouped into cycles. Maybe in a Stone Age culture, maybe those cycles would pertain to like certain group activities or something. Maybe certain songs sung in a certain order to help everybody remember what to do next. In our case, those songs might just be grouped into singles or EPs or albums, or into a set list, so you can just grab your instrument and head down to the bar and sing it for strangers that absolutely hate it all. Who knows? I've been there. What struck me about Bowra's kind of vision of how poetry might have emerged from nothing, from humanity, is that this series of like stages really relates to songwriting that we do as individuals in our rooms, right? Or as two co-writers together, or whatever the case may be. This process might have happened in groups before, through folk songs. Maybe the process occurred slowly. Maybe certain songs stop in cultures. Maybe they never get meaningful lyrics. Maybe it just stays meaningless syllables. Maybe it's really just kind of instrumental music that happens to use a voice. Scat singing, basically. I can think of examples of this even in music that's successful today. The band Dead Can Dance jumps to mind because their singer Lisa Gerrard, one of the singers in that group, sings in her own tongue. It's called, I think the technical term is like glossolalia. I actually wrote an article recently on Dead Can Dance for the website Armor Bell, so I'll link to that in the description. But point is, she just sings in no particular tongue. It's like singing in tongues. No language, no meaning to her syllables or quote-unquote words. She really just uses her voice to scoop out melodies and create these interesting sections. But she sings almost in lines. You can almost hear the influence of language in it. It's just not meaningful. She just sings whatever emerges from her throat, you know, in reaction to the backing tracks that she's supposed to sing over. So very, very interesting, this whole process, how it relates to Stone Age song around the world, how it relates to our songs and our current culture. I assume you're a member of a technological culture, considering you're listening to this right now. But I think it all says something about humanity and about a certain universal quality of what it means to put a song together and how it really is a process with stages. And how maybe we should be easy on ourselves if songs don't come out first line to last line, just in one straight line, super easy, right? Never happens for me. And songs never come together easily or in one piece. They come together gradually. Bits of melody, bits of lyric, and then all these little stages in between. Things just slowly clump together and stack up, and eventually, hopefully, you've got a draft of a song that you can sing for others. Anyway, I hope this was interesting and or useful to you in some way. Again, the book was called Primitive Song by C.M. Barra and adapted by myself to present terms and to be kind of a method that we could follow ourselves to create our own songs from scratch. This has been the Lyric Writers Workroom Podcast. Thanks for listening. So there was a time when I used to hesitate to share my songs here because the recording quality of the songs that I write is just atrocious. I am not a sound engineer, unlike some. I am not a producer. I just write the lyrics, write down the chords, compose the music. That's all I know so far. That's my skill set. So anyway, I'm going to start sharing these songs regardless because I think it's valuable to hear music that actually sounds like it's made by a real live human being as opposed to being this very slickly produced, perfectly mixed and mastered masterpiece. All that stuff has its place. Producers can do amazing things, but I wanted to share with you a very rough one voice, one guitar demo, one take demo of a song I wrote called I Want to Be Your Mercy. I hope you enjoy it.
Not gonna be good for you. Not gonna be good. I wanna be the kick in your heels, the swagger in your step. I wanna feel the tremble in your knees. I wanna be your mercy. Not gonna be good for you. Gonna be good for you. not gonna be good. I'm not gonna be good for you. I'm not gonna be good.